why is it that we expect students to come to us when frankly we should be going to them?
To put it into one umbrella, I would say create an experience where everybody can get the best USC experience they possibly can.
We can make a lot of noise about this, and we can make the actual opinions of students be heard.
Hi, I'm Claire Fogarty, podcast editor at the Daily Trojan, and this is General Education. Today's episode is part of the Spring 2022 USG supplement. Keep listening to hear interviews with the three USG presidential tickets. First, Sarika Ramani with Hannah Woodworth and Nivia Krishnan.
What do you think are like the main issues that you see plaguing our campus right now?
It's just greater USG transparency and accountability from both USG and from the administration. So something that we really plan on doing is in times of crisis, we want to take immediate action to organize some sort of town hall or public engagement session between like the administration and students so that everybody's on the same page of what's going on in terms of tangible change and tangible action that's being made to address this issue moving forward. We really want to be proactive in our solutions rather than reactive. And especially with everything that happened with Sigmund Nu, we felt like a lot of things were being covered up. There was a really, I'd say, scarcity of information available to the students. And the information that was available, we don't know how like trustworthy it was. So we really just want to open up that channel of communication moving forward so that when, unfortunately, there's inevitably some new crisis that arises, we are handling it in a way that promotes greater transparency and better supports students.
You consistently speak about the concept of transparency and sort of having a space where people can talk to you. You both are, being diverse yourself, yet do not represent the entire USC community as it is.
And this is something that Nivia and I have talked about ad nauseum. We are concerned because right now USG is not reaching a lot of the communities that I think it's supposed to be reaching, which is why there is this disconnect. So as soon if we are elected, as soon as we are, we want to do something called a listening tour. This was inspired by Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign. And the purpose of it is to simply go to specific campus communities and just give them a time and space to air all of their grievances. It is the responsibility of student government to go and get this information and use it to inform their its advocacy. So why is it that we expect students to come to us when, frankly, we should be going to them? And especially the communities that are oftentimes marginalized, underrepresented, or suppressed in some way, why are they the ones who are forced to advocate because of their own trauma that they are facing? So we want to go to them and be able to better gauge the specific issues and problems that they are facing as a USC student in our specific South LA community, and hope to use that to sort of devise our agenda in a way that best supports the students who have historically been underrepresented.
And with all the issues that have happened with Greek life, with the concept of sexual harassment and how women feel safe within USC, how exactly is the campaign focusing on trying to make sure that there are structural changes within the way we approach issues that sort of plague women within USC?
Right. In a few ways. So this all is under the accountability pillar of our platform. And we really just, again, this goes back to transparency. We want all the information as it comes out to reach students in a clear and sort of digestible format. Because right now, even with like, so for example, the IFC working group, they have been releasing reports on the status of which they are sort of monitoring the fraternities and gauging the risks that are posed to students and specifically women within the Greek system. They released a report a couple weeks ago, and me and Nivia were reading through it, and it's very hard to understand. So why are we releasing documents that are meant to promote transparency that are highly technical in language, but also don't seem to have any clear action plan, like action items? So that's one like random anecdote from recently. But again, specifically within our platform, we're working to as I've spoken about, create outward-facing town halls and public engagement sessions between administrators and students to be able to foster this culture of sharing information as it comes. And then, but specifically with regards to protecting women on campus, we first and foremost want to create and maintain a centralized reporting form so that any students who have experienced any form of harassment, discrimination, or assault that's in violation of university policy has an immediate resource to go to that streamlines reporting and really just the survivor support process, because that is something that was one of the primary issues back in October, was that this information wasn't streamlined, and we received news of it weeks after it had occurred, or it had been reported. So that's issue, I'd say, number one. Number two, I think it's acknowledging Greek life and the role that Greek life has in sort of perpetrating this culture in which women feel unsafe. We just met with Panhellenic and IFC this past week, and we were having conversations about ways to better engage both communities in conversations about really eliminating this issue. But actually, I don't even want to say eliminating, because I don't know how feasible that is, mitigating the prominence of sexual violence on campus. So that is just really engaging them as stakeholders. And we understand that Panhellenic and IFC, these are big student communities on campus, and they need to be included in the conversation because, for example, sorority women are disproportionately likely to be impacted by sexual violence during their time at USC. So these are women that need to be at the table as we discuss these solutions. Finally, reintroducing sort of structures to better communicate with both survivors and understanding that we don't want to put the plight on survivors to share their story in order for there to be change. We need institutional change that is there regardless of whether or not survivors feel willing or not to tell their stories. And just further promoting that culture. And I think Nivea and I are set to do so, given the fact that we are the only two women who are running. This was what inspired the run. And we are already engaging these conversations with the necessary stakeholders to try. And so on day one, we could start instituting these policies that are within our platform.
Nivea, I wanted to pose a question to you that I think you had asked Rachel and Colin, which was when they spoke about sort of completely abolishing Greek life. And you mentioned that a lot of USC runs on alumni donation, and sort of abolishing Greek life would mean abolishing those sort of financial donors that hold that sense of alumni appeal towards USC based on the fact that they've been part of these fraternities. What would you say would be your response to the whole concept of completely abolishing that life? And if abolishment isn't an answer, how would you say is the best way to deal with Greek life to make sure that they exist as a fruitful community within USC and as something that alumni can hold on to, but not something that's sort of negatively impacting the community that we are today?
Like Rachel and Colin's argument about abolishing Greek life, I think like Hannah and I, from our experience like in student government, we just know that it's not a feasible path, and it's also not something that the students should consider because Rachel and Colin don't give a clear plan on how they're going to abolish it. This sort of planning is extremely important when you're running for office, in a sense, because you're making promises to students, and if you're unable to keep those promises because you don't have a clear plan, then you shouldn't be running. Like, people shouldn't run on ideas. They should run on, like, policies that they know how to implement. So I think that's the first thing. And the reason why they don't have an implementation plan is because it's not feasible. Because when you're talking about alumni donors, like, that's not something us as students can really, like, tamper with. It's something that the school holds very near and dear to its heart, especially because, like, we're one of the oldest institutions in the country. Like, Greek life is very much ingrained in the culture at USC. It's a reason why a lot of students come to USC in the first place, is to this idea that they can be part of Greek life. So Hannah and I recognize that. We recognize that students really do find a community in Greek life, but that's not to say that we don't see all the problems within Greek life as well. Obviously, there's a lot of issues that we need to address. So we think the key Like, the best way to address those issues while still creating a safe space for community within Greek life is through collaborative reforms. So that means, you know, working with the people that are going to be implementing all the reforms that we're talking about are ultimately going to be like either administration or IFC or Panhellenic, right? So those are the three stakeholders that we want to be constantly engaging, as well as the people, the members of the coalition that was formed, for example, that are trying to, you know, bring more light to the issues that plague Greek life, like specifically sexual assault. So we think that, like, when talking about policies, we want to be really intentional with which policies, like, we choose to pursue. And the way we do that is really, for example, there's an executive council that just formed within student government for fraternity and sorority life. So making sure that, like, we use that council as a clear forum and an open channel of communication with these different groups, but that we also bring in the voices of the people in the coalition and the people that really want to see change within Greek life. We think that, like, reform is just the most pragmatic approach and the most tangible thing that we think we can get done in office. Every one of our platform points are points that we think we can actually follow through on, and that we already have an idea on how to get started working on them because we've had this current experience in student government. So we think that, like, it's the best, reform is the best way to try and make the community safer, because ultimately, like, student safety is our priority when talking about Greek life.
Next, we have a later edition write-in ticket. Kyle Valdez and Safal Mengel, interviewed by podcaster Jack Waterman.
What, if any, experience do you have, like, specifically a part of USG? And then if you have no experience, or even if you do, kind of what sparked you to get involved, and kind of talk me through how you got into this position?
Currently, I have no experience with USG personally, but I was student council president at my high school, where I really made significant change and truly fixed the school culture problem there, and felt made people feel like they actually belonged to a community rather than they just went to a place like from 8 to 3 every single day. And ever since that moment, and like, I felt really fulfilled from what I was able to do. I felt as if I wanted to bring that similar experience to USC, because this was my dream school coming into it, and I was really excited for everything I looked forward to. But ever since I've been here, all I've seen is our reputation constantly tarnished by different scandals or different events that are happening. And I see, like, people who matter a lot to me be failed by the current systems that we have set in place.
Yeah, so to add on to Kyle, first of all, Kyle is one of the few guys at the school that's really made it a point to make me feel wanted, in the sense of, like, he would always call me, even if I don't want to go somewhere, he would say, we really want you to be there. And that's what really made the difference for me. And that's why I'm out here supporting Kyle. But as far as my experience goes, I actually was this is just going to go way back in the day. I was a delegate my freshman year of high school, and that really sparked my interest in student government. And that's why I ran for office my sophomore year of high school as a student board member, where I was the sole representative on my board. And it was, you know, I sat next to my principal, I sat across from our superintendent, elementary school principal, middle school principal. And that's where I learned to look at a budget, learned to really advocate for my school and for my peers. That's where I learned, you know, we had no sports in my high school. And that's where I was able to advocate for more funding towards our dance team. I was able to raise $15,000 for our mock trial team and just kind of help, like, make an effort in doing all of that. I also ran some of the most successful events on my campus when I was appointed to become a communications officer my senior year. And that helped me with a lot of experience with social media, as well as just overall advocating for my peers and taking charge of events. But what honestly, because you did ask what is making us run, what really got me to run for vice president is, so I was a campaign manager last year for someone who's on the executive cabinet who we didn't win, but she had a lot of great ideas. And what I noticed last year was that it was the same friend group, and it was a little bit frustrating to see that, you know, people had all these great ideas, but they only kept that energy around election season. And then I'm looking at it this year, and I realize the opposing candidates are in the friend group of the current executive cabinet, who, you know, they approved a deadline on November 16th for elections, the elections application deadline to close December, like, 17th. That's literally a month later. And it kind of just made me realize, like, the same thing's happening. And I just realized throughout my time at USC that the USG administration has been really failing us. And it's just been that transfer of power to the next friend group. So well, I noticed the same thing again this year, where the president, you know, changed some deadlines. We have opposing candidates that are on the same platform, in the sense of, like, they're friends with her. think they're, you know, like the elections commission kind of changed the rules, for example, for the vote on logo, when we noticed our opposing candidates didn't have the vote on logo on their pins. So we just kind of realized like USG elections have been made to benefit future USG elections. And that's like, for example, one thing we want to do is expand the elections date to January, because we genuinely believe that every single student should have a voice and be able to run for office, not just us, literally any other ticket should be able to be heard, because December 17th, that's around finals time. That's when students don't even know about it. So that's kind of a little bit about why I'm running, because I'm just tired of seeing no change.
In those 19, you know, points, could you just sort of sum up the platform in general and kind of generalize all of those topics under kind of one nice little umbrella?
Kind of to put it into one umbrella, I would say, kind of like what I was saying in my first answer, to create an experience where everybody can get the best USC experience they possibly can. And that kind of like comes from the way they are treated by the university or some like physical barriers that may be set in their place. So just like seeing like how that theme plays into some of our policies, like for example, with our thrift policy, it was inspired by my friend Jamal. He currently lives two blocks outside of the thrift zone. And if he wants to enjoy thrift the same exact way that any other USC student wants to enjoy thrift, he has to walk those two blocks and then call a thrift. But what I've seen from my personal experience in those two blocks, we've had cars pull up in front of us, people get out of those cars, threaten to pull guns on us, and no USC student should have to walk those two blocks and just to be able to enjoy something that is paid for all students. So
just to add on real quick, statistically speaking, South Central is 331% higher in crime rate than the national average. And our thrift policies, because people shouldn't have to pay the gentrified prices around our campus, they should be able to find affordable housing prices, which is why we want to do a 3-mile radius. They should be able to live in downtown, stuff like that. I'm gonna let Kyle keep going. Just wanted to add that on.
Just so for our expanded thrift policy, we want to keep the current thrift zone that is monitored by DPS. And then when it comes to expanding it, we want to have a 3-mile radius around campus, like Safal was saying. And if you live within this 3-mile radius, yet outside of the thrift zone, you'll be able to coordinate with the thrift coordinator and say, hey, this is my address. And then they will be given the privilege to go to and from their address and the current thrift zone. And we believe that this is a better option than what some of the other candidates have proposed, which includes expanding the thrift zone entirely because of the statistics that Saval has brought up, and also just the school spirit, because one of the things that I look forward to coming to USC was I would watch like hype videos of like USC football in 2005. I would watch videos of the burning of the Bruin at Conquest, and then when I got here, it was nothing like that. It was the first year that they no longer had the burning of the Bruin, so we definitely want to bring that back. And we also want to have like, I went to the Cal Berkeley versus USC game in Cal this past December, and I saw that they had student chant leaders at the front row, facing the student section up at the front of them. So like really hyping up the students. I felt like the most students were engaged that way rather than just a band or just like a DJ on a speaker, like really student engagement, peer-to-peer engagement. I feel like that's really what we need. And I'm also suggesting a Conquest part two after seeing the way in which the student body was really able to come together at the UCLA basketball game. And we had the biggest student section ever at Galen Center. And I was there waiting in line since 11 in the morning. And I saw people come together like I've never seen before.
I'm wondering, when did this kind of idea to run like fully come to fruition? When like was it, you know, when you saw that there was just one ticket left, or had this been something you guys have been talking about for a while? When did that kind of come about?
It's actually something that like I personally I wanted to do this for quite a while, and Safal and I had talks about it even like towards the beginning of last fall semester when I asked him to be my vice president. And then when we saw that there was one ticket left, we kind of waited it out to see what the platform was. And we strategically submitted our application on the last day you possibly could to kind of like surprise the pool what's going on and just take this university by storm and see actual change happen.
We initially did submit an email to Elections Commission literally a week after the December 17th deadline. But once again, that deadline's made to benefit USG members and not anyone else in the school who's trying to have their voices heard or trying to represent a different group. So that's kind of why we also decided to blindside the candidate. And in a week, I have to say, with it hasn't even been a week, we've done a lot. We've definitely gained a lot of traction, which I'm really happy about.
Without, you know, becoming too opinionated, it seems as if You know, this is less of a conventional campaign than one might expect to see, obviously coming kind of at the last second, as well as it seems just kind of based on talking to you guys that, you know, you guys are a lot more direct about it and kind of to the point. Was that the goal? Just kind of, you know, raise as many eyebrows as possible, get your name out there and kind of, you know, present these like concrete ideas or what was, you know, the goal in that?
Well, we also saw when their platform came out, it was just like big words that really didn't mean anything. Like there's a, like we understand why their public platform is only 500 words because that's the restriction reset by USG Elections Commission. But since we don't have our platform like publicly posted anywhere, like with regards to USG, it's only on our Instagram. We put it and made it 8 pages long because we want to tell these people exactly what we're doing, exactly why we're doing it, because we're all about change rather than fancy words that will just kind of get the middle ground vote, because we actually we're willing to talk about the hard-hitting topics. Do you think there's a reason why in their official platform they had nothing with regards to Greek life, nothing with regards to any controversial topic, because they're too scared to actually talk about it and have an opinion on it and actually change what's actually persistent and keeps on happening at this university? They're just going for the easy vote. Rather, we want the real vote.
And you know why they're doing that? Because Hannah used to be in a sorority. Her campaign manager is in a fraternity. Her director of outreach is in a sorority. So with that in mind, of course, they didn't want to talk about Greek life. So we get it. But the thing is our campaign slogan is literally for a real SC, and we're willing to support our views and talk about it. And that's the thing. We opened up the conversation about Greek life. Paid or not, the whole point of it is we want to open up proactive conversations, and we want to have people challenge us and challenge our thinking. And we want to discuss these issues and have proactive solutions that can actually be implemented instead of the big words we've been hearing. I heard Hannah during the debates talk about how the roster wasn't updated for 2 years. And I remember looking at her during the debates and going, well, why don't you advocate for that right now when you're on the executive council? And she had, you know, she was just like, you're right. And that's the thing. Like, it's just, that's why we know it's the same thing every year. It's the same friend group every single year. And we're really tired of that.
I guess my last question is, I guess these issues and issues of accountability and kind of transparency and things like this, and wanting to bring that to the table. Do you think it's inherently an issue within USG and USC, or is it something that you feel like if two people like you guys were put at the head of the table, you know, all it takes is kind of that new face of leadership to kind of bring things back to how they should be or how they used to be?
So I'm going to tell you right now, it's not as complicated as that. As someone who just spoke to one of our directors of security and actually made some change. And he told me that 7 to 8 years ago, he used to actively be on campus, actively talk to USG, actively talk to the students and give presentations to RAs about cybersecurity and ITS updates. And at the end of the day, they stopped doing that. It's an issue with USG. It's an issue with our president and our vice president, because they're too scared to talk about, you know, the big ticket issues. We're very blunt, if you couldn't tell already, but at the end of the day, like we know for a fact that it stems from the USG leadership, because that's who should be advocating for us. That's who should be communicating with the students. And if there was a case with Carol Folt, for example, with the $8.6 million mansion, we would have hosted an open forum. We would have had her out there. We would have let students ask her as many questions as possible. And if she dodged a question, I would have grabbed the mic and been like, hey, I'm going to re-ask the question, Ms. President Folt. We would love for you to give a proper response to this and get to the point.
Just to piggyback on Safal is saying, like, Carol's been president ever since, she started the same time we started freshman year. And I've only seen her 3 times in person. I saw her once at convocation, once handing pizza out during finals in December, and yesterday at senior night for the basketball game. And we really want to change that and create, like, actually sit down with her and be like, hey, like, people feel as if they are being undermined by the greater administration because there is this lack of transparency, and it all starts with you. And also, we want to take it upon ourselves to fix the USG transparency problem. Because if you look at the current USG president and vice president's Instagram, there's one post on it, and it was posted last September, nothing else besides that. And we get that they might be posting on the USG Instagram account, but at the end of the day, we are people, and people relate better with people rather than they do with organizations. So Safal and I will make sure that people will be able to know who they can walk up to. They go, hey, there's Kyle, hey, there's our president, hey, there's Safal, there's our vice president. Let me voice my issue, like this concern to him. Let me send him a text. Like right now, Safal has his phone number in the contact section of our Instagram account for our campaign. And also just be as humanistic as possible and just drive that. And I feel like us two as individuals can really change this transparency issue.
Lastly, we have a write-in ticket that started as a joke, but has turned more serious. Rachel Lee and Colin Coulson interviewed by features editor Arantxa Pena.
Kind of what is the kind of like line between like satire and, you know, kind of like truth within your campaign? Because, you know, there's like actual like, you know, demands of like, you know, like abolishing Greek life and, you know, allocating like the DPS budget. But it's also like stuff about like, you know, like having a pet pelican and having a sweetie statue. So like kind of what is the line and kind of what is the, I guess, like motivation for using that satire?
I saw how ineffectual USG has been historically. And I initially launched a joke campaign on a single platform of allowing smoking on campus. And then somewhere along the line, the joke to seriousness ratio shifted. And then my running mate, Alejandro, dropped out due to personal reasons. And then Colin Coulson became my VEEP. And then we saw that we can make a lot of noise about this and we can make the actual opinions of students, as far as we know, be heard by, not to use the J word, but by juxtaposing the more ridiculous demands with the more serious demands, it is clearer to recognize that the more serious demands, such as abolishing Greek life, reallocating the DPS budgets, are actually great ideas that should be taken seriously. And also just recognizing that it is kind of on an institutional level, abolishing Greek life and reallocating DPS budgets is quote unquote like as ridiculous as like putting a sweetie statue up. And we're in a way, it like through this campaign, we're asking, why do you think that this is ridiculous? Why do you get to decide what we the students want?
Our real primary flagship campaign is hinging on the fraternity stuff. We don't want fraternities here anymore. And so we're leaning into that hard. But we also, we have other ideas. We want, you know, the country gets a bird, the state gets a bird, but we want USC to have a bird as well. And so we want to establish a campus bird. And we also want conveyor belts on campus. We want communal fridges. We have a bunch of very creative and very good ideas.
Wait, why a pelican? I'm just...
Well, pelicans are actually, they're very fascinating creatures. If you look into them, they can swallow as much as a gopher. They can swallow a whole like gopher in one. And they've been known to actually, they can eat like other like land animals. And they also have like two stomachs. It's crazy. So I don't know. I just think thematically, USC fits really well with a pelican.
Do you guys have any prior experience in like student government?
I was class president in fourth grade. That's true. So
I believe you.
I was valedictorian in sixth grade. And I
outsiders to the student government game, but we think that's an advantage. We think we can see through the fog more than somebody who is entrenched within the standards of USG.
Exactly. And if you heard what Hannah and Nivea were saying at the debate, all I heard with their rebuttals to our points were reasons why they could not, period. Why they couldn't do what they wanted to do, the obstructions that the administration posed. And I heard a bunch of excuses. And I think that once you're entrenched in a system, it can be very hard to be hopeful.
And I guess, like, also just so we can expand a bit more on like one of your campaign promises. So, you know, you said you want to abolish, you know, Greek life. Like, how would, like, what steps would you take towards doing that? You know, do you think it's feasible? Like, you know, how would you go towards abolishing Greek life?
You know how Sigma Nu got suspended last semester? We can take the same steps we did to suspend Sigma Nu, but with every fraternity and sorority permanently. and this will happen within the year.
Like a suspension, but it's forever.
Yeah. I think that since DPS gets $50 million, we can cut that down drastically. I don't think that they need that much money. I think that DPS is mostly a symbolic human barrier between the students of USC and the inhabitants of South Central. And no one needs that much money to stand there and look menacing slightly.
Yeah, but I think this is I think this is it.
It's looking it's looking semi-hopeful. We got quite a lot of likes on our Saweetie post.
I know.
That's respectable.
Evan, that is bananas. I don't even know who Saweetie is.
And those are our USG presidential candidates. Voting opens today, Wednesday, February 23rd, and closes Friday, February 25th. And you can find the rest of the USG supplement on dailytrojan.com or on newsstands around campus. And that's it for this episode of General Education.